through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
All right, this is one of my favorites. It is a game we call Hype Train. We play it every single Wednesday. You guys can play along. Text in your answers, 710-710. Here's how it's going to work. I will take us to the Hype Train station, and I will tell you as each train enters, this train represents a trend that's going on in sports, something everyone's talking about, a hot take, if you will. You're going to tell me whether you're buying in, whether you're boarding that train, or whether it's all hype. So let's go ahead and get started now. All right, starting Seahawks with this one, trend of the day today. Now, the Seahawks are bringing in Alden Smith for a workout. That is a very serious, serious move they're making, according to Brady Henderson. Could be a real signing. Now, that probably wouldn't happen until after the draft, after May 3rd, which means there's still a move they could make in the draft to shore up their defensive line, and that is exactly what Mel Kiper Jr. says they're going to do. In his latest mock draft, he has the Seahawks taking an outside linebacker slash defensive end, basically taking an edge rusher out of Texas, Joseph Asai, with number 56 overall. Here is the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding the Seahawks with their first pick of the draft, take a defensive end, because this, according from Kiper, they've got to get younger there.
I am not getting on that train. You still got Dunlap, you got Hyder, LJ Collier still there, Benson Mayoa, Alden Robinson, Daryl Taylor. They're young right there, just with those two, with some veterans and kind of lead the way. I don't think it's a necessity right now. I think that they can draft a DN to back somebody up, but I don't think that's the case. They don't need to do that. They have young talent on that roster already in those spots. I'm not boarding this train. I'm letting it by.
All right, Bump's not boarding. Curtis, Seahawks going to take a DE with their first pick.
Now, I wouldn't be mad if they took a defensive end if that was the best player available in the draft, but I don't think that is their biggest need, and especially if they do sign Alden Smith here over the next couple of days, which it sounds like there's some very real interest from the Seahawks part with Smith. I don't think defensive end becomes the biggest necessity on your team with that move, so I am going to let this train go by as well, but if defensive end is the best player available, I want the Seahawks to make that move. I don't think they need to be drafting for need, especially with only three picks. So I'll let this train go by.
I'm also going to let this train go by. I agree with you. If it's the greatest player available, if you can't believe that that player fell to you, fine, take a flyer on him. I do think Kiper's overlooking two important players, and that is last year's rookie, Alton Robinson, and Daryl Taylor. Daryl Taylor didn't play at all last year. I know why he would have been overlooking him, but technically they do have two young guys there. So don't forget, you still have to see what those guys are going to be. Taylor, you almost took in the first round. It's almost like last year's first rounder. You got to wait and see what he can bring. So I wouldn't be, you know, devastated if they ended up taking a defensive end. You can always get younger there, always get faster there, always build guys towards your future. However, in a perfect world, you'd also have a great cornerback or wide receiver there. So not boarding this one. No one on that train. Next train in the station. Let's talk some Mariners here. Now, right now, Kyle Seager leading the team in a couple different categories. But he is not the subject of today's hype train. No, no, no. We all know Kyle Seager's good. We all know he's great. He's off to a fast start. It's fantastic. But there's a player that we were talking about during spring training making his comeback, having a comeback year, and that is Mitch Haniger. And you know what? It's starting to look pretty good for him because he is trailing Seager in almost every category. He's got average on-base percentage. He's third, second in average, second in slugging, OPS, he's third. I mean, him, France, Seager, really the power hitters of the lineup here. Haniger, the subject of this one, though, here is the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. Mitch Haniger is going to be an all-star in 2021.
Mitch, great story. He is back. He has been responsible or played a huge role in a couple comebacks this year. Batting .311, two home runs, seven RBIs. But there's some talent in the AL, man. So you're saying he's going to beat out Buxton in Minnesota, Cedric Mullins, Baltimore, Mike Trout with the Angels, JD Martinez with Boston. I just don't see it happening. I think Mitch could be a great contributor to this baseball team, help them transition to these younger guys. I just don't see it going down, but it doesn't mean he's not going to have a good season.
All right, all right. Curtis.
The good thing working in his favor about getting an all-star appearance is that each team is guaranteed one all-star per year. The bad thing, though, is that this Mariners squad is going to be probably the most talented that we've seen over the last couple of years, where it was really hard to pick out who was going to be that all-star. Daniel Vogelbach was an all-star a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. That one was kind of like, I mean, he's the only one not hitting below 200.
Weirdest right batting stance ever, by
absolutely
the way. I'll stand by that. Weirdest batting
could
stance
sock
ever
a dinger with the best of them.
Like, stood upright.
But this year, I think Haniger has it within him to be an all-star year. So I'm going to get this train. But I don't know if he's going to be the only Mariners All-Star, which is a good problem to have. Seager could be there.
I was going to say.
Yusei Kikuchi could be there. If Marco bounces back, maybe he's there as well. There's plenty of options here.
Now, I would love for it to be Mitch Haniger. I would love for that for him, and I think he certainly could be. He's certainly on track. He had a great day in that doubleheader yesterday.
Yeah. Who
I do hope it is, though, if I have to pick one, maybe a guy like Kyle Seager. You're heading in as the veteran-most player on the team, basically like the only player in his 30s or one of the only players in his 30s. And not only that, but you've given so much to this team over the course of your career. You've been probably like one of their most successful draft picks. Curtis, you pointed this out in the last 10-plus years or so. And you've done all of that in an offseason where the former president said you were overpaid. You know what I want to do when someone says I'm overpaid? I want to like come out and like completely dominate.
Ball.
Or like show them that actually I might even be underpaid. So I'm not boarding this train, although I do hope it happens. So Curtis on board. Next train up in the station. I do want to say about the Mitch Haniger one from the 206 in all caps. Boarding this train, buying two tickets just in case. Christian
like
from the 206 also on board. So listeners, very excited for Mitch Haniger as an all-star in 2021. That train getting pretty crowded. Next one here. Now, we were talking the other day, Bump, about whether you would rather win an individual contest or a team contest. What would feel most fun, most satisfying, most rewarding, whatever it may be. So I looked at particularly individual wins. Here's the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding.
All right.
No other individual win in sports is more satisfying than winning the Masters.
Ooh, there's some satisfying wins.
Yeah.
I look at the Olympics, like 100 meters. You win 100 meters,
yep.
200 meters, 400 meters, anything.
U.S. Open,
yeah.
Wimbledon.
There's a lot. But, again, golf is the hardest game in all the land. You compete with the world like you do in track and field. And there's, I would imagine, putting on that green jacket. They already got it fitted for you. It's perfect. It's nice and snug. You do it in front of the world. It has to be the Masters. The Masters is the greatest individual win championship I've ever seen. Even if I don't know anyone, that I'm rooting for anyone in the Masters, whoever wins it, I'm happy for them. I'm like, man, good for you. Because I've gone out on plenty Saturdays and Sundays, and you would think I hate the game of golf. Because it kicks my butt because it's so dang hard, but I keep showing up because you're always chasing that next birdie or eagle or par. So I got to go with the Masters. I'm on that train.
Curtis.
Do we remember who won the Masters in 2013? No.
No.
Do we remember who won 8 gold medals at the 2008 Olympics?
Yes.
Michael Phelps. It's the Olympic gold medal.
But do you
that
have to
most,
win 8?
No, you can just win one. That is the most impressive individual athletic achievement you can have is an Olympic gold medal. That's why I am not getting on this train.
Okay.
Simply because we don't remember every single Masters champion the way we do remember gold medalists in the Olympics. And that's not just, you get to hold that title for 4 years.
Yeah.
Or 5 years in this case. With the Olympics being held in 2021.
Let me ask you one thing, Curtis.
Okay.
8 green jackets or 8 gold medals? Which is harder?
What's harder? Man. Now, the Masters is an every year competition.
So you would have to dominate for 8 years as opposed to just dominating in 1 year.
Yeah, your window in the Olympics is so much smaller to get that.
But if you're Phelps, you can compete in like 3 or 4
events.
That's
true.
It's eight Masters. If you win that, I'm sorry, that is so... It's
8 Masters championships, I think, would be more difficult because of, like you said, Stacey, there are multiple events you can stack gold medals in.
Yeah.
Where you wouldn't, you know, you being the swimming insider on 710.
That's exactly right. I am going to go Masters with this, though, because you know how your girl loves a blazer over jeans. I would love a green jacket. The Olympics, sure, you get the gold medal, but what other outfit do I get? Do I get a jacket with the Olympics? Do I get a coat? Do I get a parka? I mean, what's coming along
get
with
a necklace.
This? Exactly. Where's the accessory that comes along with it? I don't just want this medal. I can't wear that out. Yeah, Curtis, you make a good point, but I got to go with Bump. I think, especially if you win multiple Masters, man, that's bragging rights. All right, next train. All right, now this one inspired by Anthony Edwards not knowing who the heck A-Rod is because he was born in 2001. He's 19 years old, despite the fact that A-Rod now owns the team for which he plays. Here's the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding, it's okay to not know who A-Rod is if you're under 20.
If you're under 20. So I got to go back and think about when I was 20 and under, so like 05 and below. I'm dating myself. I'm getting old, folks. I don't think it's okay. A-Rod is one of the best to do it. I mean, like, it's A-Rod, man. I've never seen a lot of great athletes play, but I know who they are just because I'm a student of the game. And I guess he might not be a student of baseball, which is okay. He's a basketball player, but it's not like we're asking him who Hideo Nomo is. This is A-Rod. You know, this is A-Rod, one of the best to ever do it. I don't think it's okay. I'm passing, letting that train pass.
All right. Curtis, are you also letting the train pass?
I think it is okay for somebody that young to not know who Alex Rodriguez is. Because like we talked about, if you're just a child when he is at his very peak, which he was, I think around like 05, 06 was probably Alex Rodriguez's best years. Anthony Edwards was a kindergartner, and kindergartners, Bump, you've raised a couple of them here.
Three of them.
They're not exactly paying attention to what you're paying attention to at that time.
That's very true.
So I think there's a little bit of wiggle room there for Anthony Edwards.
It's there. I'm going to board the train, but let it be known that there is very little wiggle room. But I do understand. I mean, he is right up against that era where it's like, even though A-Rod is still very much a part of not just sports culture, but pop culture, and it seems like everyone, like my mom knows who A-Rod is, still at 19, like it's very feasible that there are just other stars that you are watching and you're just like, it doesn't immediately click for you, right?
I'm going to go home and ask Michael Bumpus II who A-Rod is. If he knows who A-Rod is, and then you don't get a pass from
Let's me. Do it. Let's do a test. With Michael Bumpus II, what's a player maybe outside of Seattle where it's like, you should know who this player is because he's on like primetime hosting, he's still really relevant, but maybe who is never a Seattle.
Like LeBron or somebody like that?
Of course, everyone knows LeBron. Like a two-year-old is going to know who LeBron is.
You got to be like, Deion Sanders is too easy. I feel like he'll know who Deion Sanders is. Like Michael Irvin or somebody.
Yeah, or someone that's like, maybe a football player that still does like a Troy Aikman, someone who still does like primetime stuff or whatever, but who certainly played before. Yeah. Let's see. Will you fill us in?
I got you.
Let us know. All right. Last train. Now, this one is a fun one. I always try to make the fifth train here something that is not related to sports, but still gets people fired up. So text line, get ready. 710-710. Here is the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. This one about streaming services. Disney Plus is a better streaming service than Netflix. Bump.
I'm not on that train. Me and the wifey, we live off of Netflix. Put the kids to sleep. We are watching Netflix. That is the special time with Mrs. Bumpus. So I'm not going to go with Disney Plus, even though I have subscribed. I got them watching The Mighty Ducks with the kids. But Netflix is dear to my heart because of the time I spend with the wife watching it.
Fair. Curtis.
I would say Netflix right now. But once Baby Rogers gets here in about a month, Disney Plus might become the go-to. It's got every single kid show that we watched, plus like all the kid shows that they have now. Disney Plus is also cheaper than Netflix, but Netflix, Stacey, coming out today, season 2 of The Circle, one of the greatest trash reality TV shows of all time. You know your boy's going to be watching that over the next couple days.
1,000%. I'm literally watching it when I get home from work, 4 hours straight. Do I have other stuff to do? Yeah. Does it make me a productive adult? No, I'm still going to do it. I'm absolutely not going to space them out. I'm going to binge watch all of it. Here's why Netflix is better than Disney Plus. Disney Plus has the lockdown on some of the best franchises. If you want to watch Star Wars, if you want to watch Marvel movies, if you want to watch any of the Disney classics, you have to go through Disney Plus. It's smart, but I don't want that. I want trash. I want that like convenience store option of stuff where it's like, it's $2 for a Twix bar. It's not the best chocolate, but I want so many options for like random shows and movies and trash reality TV. And Netflix gives me that. Netflix gives me things that I can fall asleep to. There's nothing I love more. All right, that does it for Hype Train today. Let's jump into some NFL headlines. Jadeveon Clowney, someone we were potentially thinking could land back with Seattle. The odds were always going to be low, but once he became a free agent and still remained available, obviously Clowney Watch 2.0 was on. Today, though, it ends because Jadeveon Clowney will sign a one-year deal with the Cleveland Browns worth up to $10 million per Adam Schefter bump. Did the Seahawks make the right move in not bringing him back?
I think they did. I think they saw what they were going to get out of Clowney, which was a guy who disrupt the pocket. He was like a banger bust type of player, right? He'll show up for a week and maybe disappear for a couple of weeks. The Hawks needed a guy who was going to be consistent, and I think they have consistency on this defensive line right now. Good for Clowney. Keep getting your money as long as the Cats are going to pay you to play ball, but I'm okay with him not being here.
Yeah, I'm okay with it too. I was kind of not championing it, but I was like, guys, Clowney isn't as bad as he's made out to be. And again, I fall victim to this all the time. High ceiling guys, I'm always like, well, wait a minute, let's see if he can do that again. Because yeah, those guys, that type of talent is so rare that if someone flashes it once, it's tempting as a GM, I would imagine, as a head coach, to be like, let's go ahead and roll the dice here. But I think that they have since found their answers with the rotation of Kerry Wright, bringing back Benson Mayoa, Carlos Dunlap. Hopefully we see good stuff from Daryl Taylor and Allen Robinson. I think they got a good group. I feel good about it. I'm okay with them. Next story here in NFL headlines, this one looking a little further south in the NFC West. Aaron Donald, Rams defensive tackle, and a group he was out with are alleged to have assaulted a man in the Pittsburgh area. Here's what happened. The victim, who was pictured wearing a Washington State hoodie,
go Cougs,
says that the altercation began after he accidentally bumped into Donald. And then he says that Donald's group turned and attacked him, and he suffered some serious injuries. He's got like a broken orbital bone, like his eye is like swollen shut, suffered a concussion, a couple other things. So very serious incident.
It can't be that simple, right? You bumped into him and then his squad just jumps on you. It was probably bumped into him, looked at him, sized him up, ran his mouth a little bit, and Aaron Donald and his squad did his thing. Now, I could be wrong, and maybe I am wrong. Maybe it did happen that way, but it typically doesn't escalate that quickly. There has to be some words and some bravado going on. There's more to the story.
I don't know, Bump. You know what I think happened? I think Aaron Donald's got some serious problems. I think he's someone that I don't see the Rams why they can hang on to him. I think they've got to trade him away. I think that there's really the only option is to get him out of LA, and maybe there's a team, I don't know, like Seattle, that would acquire him and give him a second chance, right?
I think, I mean, a seventh round pick. Yeah.
I think that's really when you got a guy that has some issues like that, you gotta unload him. And so that seems like fair. I think a seventh round pick, totally
seventh
fair.
Round pick,
very
yeah.
very. No, I that really surprised me. Aaron Donald, one of the last guys I would expect to be involved with something like this. It's hard not to think that, like, I agree with you. There's got to be something more. Yeah. We never hear about Aaron Donald involved with stuff like this. And
did he actually do it, or was
it his
boys? It's
unclear. It sounds like it's the people he was with.
See, if
and maybe he was involved, but that it every story I've read is like a group of people.
Yeah.
So it's unclear whether Aaron Donald was part of it or not. But let me tell you what, the list of people I am never going to square up with, the list of people I will never fight, number one, Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
I am not, I don't care if I'm 7 feet tall. Aaron Donald is an unstoppable, immovable force. I'm not fighting this person.
Sounds like alcohol, too.
A little bit.
And then when,
go Cougs.
I was nowhere near the player that Aaron Donald was, but when I went out with my boys and something happened, they just pushed me to the side and said, all right, we got this, Bump. So I want to assume that happened.
I mean, maybe. Yeah, I can see like them protecting him and being like, it is hard to believe. I mean, the story this guy is saying is like, I bumped into him and then this happened. Maybe everyone's drinking. No one knows what's going on, but I don't know. Curtis, you had a theory. Because you said maybe he's local. Maybe he's from Washington.
Oh, yeah.
He's wearing that Washington
I mean,
State
he's
hoodie.
Wearing a Cougs hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's like, hey, Seahawks they're going to mess you up this year, Aaron. Mm. And then Aaron's like, oh, yeah? Well, I'm about to mess you up.
Yeah.
And maybe that's how it escalated.
You never know. You never know. All right, we mentioned this with Tyler Lockett's press conference earlier today, but I'll go ahead and jump back to it. Final couple minutes here. And a couple NFL teams have sent out a memo from the NFLPA by players that they will not take part in voluntary offseason workouts. Those workouts scheduled to start on Monday. Seahawks, one of those teams, along with the Denver Broncos, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think we're all expecting other players from other teams to join in there, but Seahawks not going to be taking part in voluntary workouts. What do you make of it, Bump?
It ain't fair, man. It ain't fair for Michael Bumpus coming out of Washington State University undrafted, just trying to make the squad. It isn't fair. It puts some pressure on guys who don't even know what they're getting into yet, and they need to be around. They need to get into VMAC. They need to make relationships with these coaches. I don't like it. I understand why the veterans would not want to go. It worked out, seemingly. I mean, you look at the product that was on the field this year when it comes to the NFL, it seemed good. Offenses were still on point. You still had some good defenses. So it makes sense to me if mm-hmm. I'm an older guy, but those in-between and young guys, unfortunate.
Yeah, I always look at that. It's how I felt when they were negotiating with the new CBA stuff. I was like, man, I'll never, ever feel comfortable telling a player how much money he should or shouldn't make, mm-hmm. right? Like, get your money.
Yeah.
If it's millionaires versus billionaires, I'm going to choose millionaires. But when it comes to players, there's also a lot of people that are not millionaires. And that's how I feel with the offseason stuff. I'm like, man, I don't fault any of these guys for not feeling comfortable in the middle of a pandemic going to offseason workouts when, to them, they're like, we did virtual stuff last year in April and yep. everything was fine.
Yep.
They did training camp in person. Everything was fine. I do feel, though, for the guys that are worried this is taking a toll on their chance to stand out and impress coaches, because there are guys that have come through and done that. Think of Puna Ford, undrafted out of Texas, was a priority free agent that was signed. And even from the moment he was signed, I remember Brock Heward saying, watch out for this guy. I think he might have called one or two of his games, but he was like, this guy is one of the most underrated free agents and he has a good chance to make the roster. He ended up making it, but part of how you make it, go to those. You're yep. in rookie camp. You're in OTAs. You shine in training camp, because when you just show up in training camp, you're starting with third team reps. They don't do a shuffle, pick straws, and that's where you get to play. You are playing with third team guys, with guys that are also trying to make the roster. So you have to stand out among them to even get a chance to play with the twos.
I used to get maybe 15 snaps per practice. Three of them were passes. You got to take advantage of every opportunity that you have, mm-hmm. so you're just limiting opportunities.
I know. It's a bummer. All right, that does it for NFL headlines. Now, we have normally a segment that I was going to jump into where we were going to talk about these voluntary workouts. Instead, what we're going to do before I get to what I need to know is we're going to talk about college football players, some of the best, some of the greatest, some of the worst, and who better to talk about them with than Michael Bumpus. I'm very excited to hear about some of these stories. It's our last full show hosting with Bump, and so I want to make the most of it. It's going to be fun. I want you guys listening to participate. So here's what I want you to do. 710-710, that is the number you will be texting. I need you to do two things. Thank you in advance for helping me out. I need you to send in a question for Bump about college football, college sports that we're going to be having this conversation with, and I need you to send in a question for what I need to know. What I need to know is coming up at 45. That's when you can send in any question you want. It could be, is a maple bar a donut? We were debating that the other day. Don't send that in. I'll get fired up all over again. Anything you want to ask for what I need to know. But coming up next, we're going to have a fun conversation about college football with Michael Bumpus heading your way.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
All right, a little bit of breaking news from the MLB for you guys before I get to these questions for Bump. Several Astros players have been placed on the injured list, though, for unspecified reasons. As a reminder, the Mariners opening a series against the Houston Astros at home here in Seattle on Friday the 16th. Yordan Alvarez, Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, Robel Garcia, and Martin Maldonado have all been placed on the injured list. Now, worth mentioning here and important that when players in the MLB are on the COVID list, sometimes it isn't disclosed why they're being placed on it. So this could be a series of injuries, like just really bad injury luck for the team, and then we'll get more news for it. Though, if it is COVID-related, it's certainly a situation to be monitoring, since in about 48 hours, a series is set to begin between the Seattle Mariners and the Astros. So either they are going to be very depleted because of injury, or there's a risk the series could be postponed or canceled, or there's a risk that this was COVID-related, but they decide that it's safe enough to continue playing. Either way, they won't have those players. So a situation to monitor. All right, back to our segment with Bumpus here. Now, Bump, you have done a phenomenal job, as always, filling in for Jake with us. And so I decided it would be fun to, we obviously know you, but you have so many fun stories from college football. And Curtis and I love throwing hypotheticals at people. So I've asked listeners to text in some of theirs, and I have a couple questions for you. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Who is the best player you've ever played with?
Played with, like on the same team?
I'll say on the same team. When Curtis and I were thinking about talking about it, it was like just the best college player you've seen.
Okay.
But ideally, like when you were coming up.
Coming up. So I would say the best player I've ever played with would be probably Jerome Harrison, who was a running back for Washington State. Led the country in rush yards, but we didn't go to a bowl game, so D'Angelo Williams beat him out. Mm. But this guy would have 100 yards rushing before the half every single game his senior year. Now, the best player I've ever seen in college, here's a story. So I was originally committed to USC. Pete Carroll wanted me to redshirt. They brought in a guy named Dwayne Jarrett. Who's that guy, right? Had a great career, though. but I'm looking, as I'm choosing SC, I'm looking at the numbers because I wore number 5. And I'm like, okay, I got to have my number. I'm looking, and this guy has number 5 already. I'm like, man, who's Reggie Bush? Helix High School in San Diego? Did he even play
nobody.
There?
And a nobody.
I was quickly introduced to him. We played SC, and he took a pump back to the house. And I'm like, all right. This dude is for real. He was so good. I would stand up when we were on defense just to see what he was going to do, just to see what number 5 was going to do. Reggie Bush and Curtis, we talked about this earlier. For our generation, he's the best college football player I've ever seen.
Yes.
253, Chris in Enum Claw says, Bump, who's the best corner you've ever faced?
Best corner. I was in the slot primarily, so I dealt with a lot of safeties. And
we'll do safeties too. I'll say DB.
Okay, DB. I went to Autzen Stadium, and there's another guy, Patrick Chung, preparing for him all
week. Who's heard of him?
And he walked down to the line of scrimmage, and I took him for granted, and he choked me out something so nasty the first play. I'm like, okay, I know who Patrick Chung is. So one-on-one, Patrick Chung was a monster. I still scored, though. I still got mine.
Someone else texted in and said, who was the best player that you came up with who should have been drafted but wasn't?
Who should have been drafted but wasn't? You know, there's somebody no one's going to know, man. His name's Charles Dillon. He is the most athletic guy I've ever played with at Washington State. Didn't get a lot of burn, got a chance with the Green Bay Packers. But if he would have gotten more opportunity, everyone would know about Charles Dillon. Got some Oxnard, California. Our families actually knew each other growing up, and we didn't know.
Small world.
Yeah, we met each other at Washington State. Look him up. Charles Dillon was a monster.
Who's the most overrated player in college ball? I will include for all of time.
Any school,
all of time. One of the most overrated college players where you thought, man, we were dumb for that one.
Any quarterback at SC not named Leinart or Carson Palmer. Like John David Booty was nice, but overrated. Mark Sanchez was nice, I felt, but overrated. They had a lot of talent around them, which helped them out. But USC quarterbacks, man, I've always felt like they've gotten way too much love. Leinart and Carson.
But even then, I agree with you on that one. I've been waiting for someone to say it from the 206. Big money Bump. Give me your funniest, all caps, funniest practice story at Wazoo from Christian.
Funniest practice story. So there's this guy on my team, Eric Frampton. He played in the league for about 6 years. He was a DB. This dude was the nicest guy in the world. Smart as heck, too. Like, when he spoke, he even sounded kind of nerdy. Like, hey, Bump, how you doing? You know, he just a nice guy. And I met him before we had our first day of practice, and we did one-on-ones. And I'm used to the Eric Frampton that I'm used to talking to, and he walks down a lot of scrims and goes, you ain't getting nothing. I'm like, hold on. How did you change your voice? Like, you're a different person right now, friend. Like, you're scaring me low key, man. And he was able to turn a switch on that I've never seen before in my life. Eric Frampton, nicest guy, smartest guy, a different person when he plays football.
The 509 bump. If you didn't play football, what would you have liked to do, or what sport would you have liked to play?
So soccer was my first sport.
Really?
I grew up playing soccer. I went overseas and I played for a summer. I got a couple offers to go pro when I was like 14, 15, by smaller clubs, nothing big. But soccer was my first love. Had a couple scholarship offers coming out of high school. So if I didn't do football, I would have probably have been a soccer player.
I can't think of who it is. It might be Akello Witherspoon, one of the newer Seahawks for this, or newest Seahawks for this year, also played soccer growing up. Like, soccer was their first sport. I think it might be Witherspoon. I got to look back into this. bump. Who is a player that came out of nowhere? Like, so when I asked this earlier, who's a player that we weren't talking about that ended up becoming a star? So not necessarily someone you played with, but someone that just shocked you because you were like, why weren't we talking about this guy like years before he became a big deal?
Oh, man, that is a tough one. Who became a star? You know, Richard Sherman, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's probably the easy way to go, but Richard Sherman, he was a receiver at first at Stanford. I didn't hear converts to a DB. Didn't hear much about him coming out, but ended up having a great career. I know that's the easy way out, but that is legit.
This person says, bump, what's the over-under, bump, over-under 5.5 wins for the Cougs in 2021?
Aw, oh, man. Hey, so Rolo just DM'd me. I'm going to flex on y'all real quick. Rolo just DM'd me today.
No biggie.
Okay.
No biggie.
Wow.
You know,
no big deal. No
you
big
know,
deal.
It's Cougar Nation. Stand up. So I got to go over, man, just because I believe in what Rolo's doing. I think he was the perfect guy to take over after Leach because personnel-wise, it's not like he has to recruit a totally different type of player that Leach did. I think the players that Leach brought in, he can get it done with. So I got to go with Rolo.
From the 509, last question here, although we do have more questions coming up for what I need to know, so you guys can keep those coming. Bump, what's your best advice for a high school athlete seeking college scholarships?
One, grades got to be on point. Back in my day, you can get a 2.5 and a 900 on the SAT, and you're good to go. These guys need to be above 3.5. Two, watch what you put on social media. Mm. All this gang stuff y'all be doing. You think these coaches aren't paying attention to that? Yes, they are. You guys are under more pressure than any other athlete in the history of being an athlete because of social media, mm-hmm. because they can get to know you instantly or get a perception of you instantly. So be careful on social media. Get your grades right. Train during the off season. You can do 7-on-7. I own a 7-on-7 program, Elite Training Academy. Holler at me. But it's all about what you do on Fridays. If you don't ball on Fridays, no one's going to care.
So right. You're saying that Stacey and I don't have a good shot at getting a full ride?
Is it too late?
It might be too late.
I don't
just missed your window.
I don't think it's too. I mean, I think we should always chase our dreams.
I think so too.
I'm ready to ball.
We have
out
our
Friday.
Quarterback camp too.
Actually, shout out to the Curtis. What did we decide
it's
to call
it? Curtis and Stacy make quarterbacks better than Jake camp.
LLC. Shout out to our camp as well.
Can I sign up?
We're in need of coaches. Okay. Absolutely. Will you come be a coach at our quarterback camp?
I got you.
We're going to make it a football camp, more holistic approach. All right, I am running late here. What I need to know coming up next. Send in your questions right now. 710-710 right around the corner.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
What I need to know is brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, Electric. Michael Bumpus has been in all week for Jake Heaps. It has been so fun hosting with you. So we're going to wrap this up right with a question segment. Get your questions in right now. Text them 710-710. Any question you want, as many questions as you want. I'm going to get started here. Curtis, you're also participating because this is an important opinion-based segment in which we answer some of the most important questions in the world. For instance, what is the best jersey in the NFL?
From just pure looks?
Pure looks. Aesthetically, most pleasing jersey in the NFL.
I think I've been on record in the past saying you cannot go wrong with a single look that the San Diego or the LA Chargers have thrown out there. That is a clean, clean look.
I got to go with the Ravens all black.
That's a good one.
I really like the Ravens all black. It's tough. The
problem is I don't like purple, which is a bummer as a UW Husky alum because then I have to like buy around it. I'm gonna go. I like red, So I don't love it with gold. So X on the 49ers, but like the Texans jerseys I've always been fine with. A lot of people love Tennessee. I'm not a big, huge baby blue fan. No. It depends how it's done. I'm not being a homer here, but I love Navy. So Patriots, Seahawks, let's see. Also a classic blue like the Colts. Yeah, I'm going with those. Top three golf courses in Washington.
Chambers Bay, Sahali, and I'm just going to shout out my home course. It's probably not the best, but Echo Falls. I play there a lot.
Curtis, do you golf?
I do not, no.
I don't have any recommendations. Sorry, guys. Someone said the Niners all black jerseys.
No.
Okay.
The Niners are red and gold. Like that, you don't need to mess with
yeah.
that.
From the 253, what was your first professional sports game you went to or concert?
The first concert I can remember happened at a sports game. So it was, I think it was the year 2000. I was 9 years old, and the Baja Men played at Safeco Field prior to a Mariners game. Shout out to the Baja Men.
You know what?
I own that one. I'm fine with that being my first concert.
Baja Men.
My first game was the very first MLS game. It was the LA Galaxy versus the Metro Stars at the Rose Bowl.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty dope.
Okay. Let's see. If you're hiking with Wyman and Bob, who are following us, by the way, if you're hiking with Wyman and Bob and startle a bear, are you hiding behind Bob or Dave?
Dave.
Yeah.
1,000%.
I mean,
Dave.
I feel like both of them could fight the bear and it would be a pretty fair fight. I feel like I'm going with the linebacker.
Yeah.
Although Bob, I feel like, could also fight. It's a tough test.
It's tough because Bob is a UFC fan.
Both of them are big dudes.
So Bob has some tricks.
Yeah.
But Wyman is a tough guy. Anybody, I played basketball with Wyman, he had jeans on and wrapped up his
that's
knee in old school
that's
ace bandage.
Thing.
Like, that's Wyman for
here's
you right
the thing.
There.
If we are hiking, if we're on a trail, all of us, and a bear comes upon us, I guess I'm going with Wyman, who I feel like is so old school that he will take on this bear in any weather, wearing any gear. It's not going to matter. I'm taking Bob if, like, we stumble into an MMA ring and a bear also comes into the ring. Then I'm going to be like, Bob's in his zone. Bob's going to do, like, karate or whatever it is Bob does. If we're just out in the wilderness, I feel like Dave can throw down. He'll throw hands with the bear. No matter what he's wearing, no matter what he's doing.
I think Bob would try to approach it from a rational perspective.
Yeah, he'd be like, what are you doing here?
Dave would black out and who knows what happens. And then you'd have to like pick him up, dust him off, and be like, what happened? It's like, you got him. You got him, Dave.
You got him.
One of the most important conversations in the entire world from the 253, cake or pie?
Pie. Good old-fashioned apple
right there
pie.
With you.
You put some ice cream on that thing, too. Yeah, pie.
Yeah, cake, dare I say it, a little overrated.
That's fair.
Right?
There's so much more variety in pie, too.
Yeah, cake is just kind of like what flavor frosting may be cake, but pie, you can go hearty, sweet, I mean, anything. There's 1,000,005 pies. Follow-up question, key lime pie, out of the top five or not? This is an important debate I've been a part of with many people because some people hate key lime pie and some people are like, it is an essential pie.
I like key lime pie, but I would not put it in my top five.
I don't even like it, so gone.
Where is it in your top five, Stacey?
Key lime? Out of the top five, but not far out of it.
Like seven?
Yeah.
They're like
it's in
a,
the top ten.
Yeah.
I like, like a banana cream... coconut cream pie. Oh, pecan pie.
Yeah, that one's fire as well.
What's the best video game console and why is it N64?
Because
I'm old.
I'm going to go even older. You know what? Because one of my favorite games of all time is World Series Baseball. And I had it on... Sega came out with a different console. What was it called?
The Dreamcast?
Genesis.
Genesis?
I don't actually know anything about video game consoles.
The text line will know.
Yeah.
They will absolutely know.
They will.
It was Sega something. Yeah, I got to go whatever Sega was.
Oh, it was so many good questions here. I wish I could keep it going, but we can't. We got to let you guys go. I'm sorry. Bumpus, it has been a blast hosting with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You are the best. We can't wait to obviously keep talking to you. There is a chance we won't be with you guys tomorrow with the Mariners game. Keep an eye out, though, for weather updates additionally on the game today. Do not go anywhere. Wyman and Bob is next on 710 ESPN Seattle.